This is Ozarks at Large. This week, the conversation about health care returned to the state capitol as legislators began a fiscal session during which there will be debate over whether to fund the private option. Last week, the private option, the Affordable Care Act, and other health matters were the subjects of a panel discussion on the University of Arkansas campus, a panel that was sponsored by the U of A's Associated Student Government. Two legislators were participants on that panel, Republican Representative Charlie Collins and Democratic Representative Greg Letting. The two other members of the panel were not elected officials, but provided two different philosophies regarding the delivery of health care. Their exchange happened about an hour into the event. First, we will hear from Jason Ahrens, an adjunct professor for the Department of Economics and Supply Chain Management at the University of Arkansas and a business consultant. Then we'll hear from Hershey Garner, an oncologist with degrees in finance and law. Jason Ahrens told the audience of about 100 people, many of them U of A students, that the national discussions about health care have a danger of never being fully productive until the conversation addresses what he called a core principle.
And I know that this is a controversial topic, and so I think it's valuable to talk about these things more openly, but still in polite company. I think we can be friends and talk about this. So one of the core issues in any discussion of this type is the question of whether or not you have a right to health care. I think that that really gets down to the bottom line of it. Now, I would certainly say that my representative here has every right to prevent me from just turning around and punching him in the face. He has the right to say no. That's what it means to have a right. You have the right to say, I'm not going to be your slave. You can't hurt me. You cannot enact violence against me. And so there's a moral aspect to the question of interacting with other people in a voluntary way. This is incredibly important. But consider this. You certainly have a right to pursue your education. You have every right to come to my classes, to come to anybody's classes, and I can't stop you from doing that. I cannot show up with my violence and say, no, you may not take his class. No, you may not pursue an education. Education is not for you. I can't interfere with you. So you have a right to the pursuit of your education, but you cannot, in any deep way, have a right to an education itself, to the attainment of an education, because what would that imply? In order for you to have a right to an education, you would also have to have the ability to oblige us to teach you whether we wanted to teach you or not. And if nobody wanted to teach you, you would have the right to go in as if to a hospital and demand at an emergency room that you must provide me with my education right now, or you will face criminal charges. That can't be the case. Sometimes people refer to these as positive rights or negative rights. It's negative rights all the way down. You cannot have a right to an education. You can only have the right to the pursuit of the education. Consider this as well. If you didn't want to study and you didn't want to show up at class, but you still had a right to education, what additional efforts would we have to go through to make sure that you got that education that is your right? It's meaningless. That's a hollow concept. You have the right to the pursuit of health, but you cannot have the right to health itself. It's just not, it's not a meaningful way of thinking. We all here share, I'm going to make a proclamation here, let me know if I got this wrong. We all share a strong desire for all of you to be healthy. We have a strong desire for ourselves to be healthy. We have a strong desire for all of you and everyone you care about, and I'll go ahead and push it to the whole world. We want you to be healthy. We share that as a desire. But we shouldn't confuse desires with rights. And so this fundamental difference is going to confuse a lot of other things. So, for example, if you were to instead say to me, well, you know what, if we spent 90% of all of GDP and, furthermore, enacted incentive structures using bullwhips to force people to work harder so that everybody had to work 60-hour weeks instead, to produce only medical equipment, just eliminate the video game industry entirely, which would be heartbreaking for me because I'm a big video game fan. We could get fantastic health results. We could have more innovation than we would in a free entrepreneurial society. But none of those things are the goal. And so for me, there is a core issue here about the preservation of individual rights as well, and this question about whether you have the right to health itself. You can't. But I share your desire to have wealth, and I'm very interested in how best to get wealth. And this is part of why it's so wonderfully fortuitous that an actual free enterprise system would incentivize everyone towards figuring out how to create that value of health services for one another very effectively and very efficiently. But that has never been tried in modern medicine. I mean, it's been tried thousands of years ago and done quite well in that context, but not for modern medicine. Since modern medicine has existed, since like the 20s or whatever, we haven't had that kind of free enterprise system, so we don't have anything to compare it to. So am I certain that we'll get all of the results that you're hoping for? No. I'm not. But all of economic theory and all of our historical examples point towards that being a better approach.
That was Jason Ahrens, an adjunct professor in the Department of Economics and Supply Chain Management at the University of Arkansas, speaking last week during a panel discussion on the U of A campus. His comments were immediately followed by these comments by another panelist, Hershey Garner, a radiation oncologist in Northwest Arkansas. He told the audience he had a diametrically different point of view.
A couple of things. I agree that we share, I hope we share the same values. What I have found, talking at town halls when this was going through in 09 and 10, what I found was that if you could, as a person of faith, law, and science, values and evidence make a difference to me. I would much rather our healthcare delivery system be governed not by dollars, but by evidence-based medicine. Other democracies do that. Another quick example, because that's, you know, this rabbi from Nazareth that has informed a lot of what I believe about how we ought to live.
Rabbi from Nazareth talked
a lot about stories and personal experience. Let me share just briefly something that is wrong with our system. Healthcare is a right, it is affordable, it is the right thing to do, it's the moral and ethical thing to do, and it's the economically sound thing to do. A fellow that was in Louisville, Kentucky with me was a philosopher theologian. Couldn't make any money doing that, so he established a woodworking for a company, a small business, that made some sort of filter that sucked all of the wood particle dust out of woodworking shops, filtered it, returned the air back into the shop. And he apparently did it very well, had 12 employees, was advertised in the woodworking magazines and some AETN channel featured his product, and made these blue tornado cyclone air filter things. He couldn't afford health care. He was a healthy, robust, mid-40s something, employing 12 people, paying taxes in rural Kentucky. Well, he had an auto accident, got to the emergency department, and found out his blood pressure was about 180 over 130. And they said, oh, my gosh, you know, you are a disaster waiting to happen. You need to take this blood pressure medicine. So he got his 90-day prescription, took it for a while. Didn't have insurance, felt he was really kind of running on the margins, so he didn't go back to the doctor, didn't get his hypertensive medications. 4 years later, he has a massive stroke. Well, my friend is now in a nursing home, long-term care facility, early 50s now, probably is going to live another 10 to 20 years on the federal dime at about $3,500 a month. When I work in free clinics, I see an inordinate number of young males, primarily, who are fit and active, who are hypertensive. Now, under the Affordable Care Act and Walmart, they can get their blood pressure medicine at $10 for a 90-day supply, so $40 a year for the blood pressure medicine, and two wellness visits with a small copay. And so you're talking about 60, 80 bucks a year to take care of a young hypertensive worker. Now, you don't have to have many stroked out 40-year-olds that we're going to be on the dime for the next 20 years at $3,000 or $4,000 a month to make up for that, plus the lost productivity, plus the loss of 12 employees. So if you even take out the notion that it's the right thing to do, economically it's the correct thing to do. And I just have never seen, well, we ran off the rails just a wee bit in the 50s when we tied our health care to employment and doing stuff. So in this country, we get paid for doing things. That is the biggest disincentive for an efficient, effective health care system. We ought to be paid for having results, having a healthy population, practicing medicine that works, not that just generates revenue. And as somebody who's on the inside of that system, I can tell you we are incentivized to do things that may not benefit the patients. Some of us do not respond to those incentives. A lot of people do.
Hershey Garner is a practicing oncologist in Northwest Arkansas. Before his comments, we heard from Jason Ahrens. He is an adjunct professor in the Department of Economics and Supply Chain Management at the University of Arkansas. Their interchange was taken from a panel discussion held last week on the University of Arkansas campus about healthcare. That event was sponsored by the Associated Student Government at the U of A.